Welcome to Inspiring on BBS Radio.
I am your host, Jeanette Bryan. Today, I'm not feeling well, but I have enlisted the help of Susan Ross as my co-host, and we are going to touch on the subject of nutrition and the relationship between obesity and nutrition. March is National Nutrition Month, and our goal at Inspiring Talk Show is to inspire you to do the best you can, inspire, educate, empower, and be a role model to your children. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Inspiring, please feel free to call us and share your viewpoints. Hello, Susan. Welcome back. I'm very glad to have you here with me today as we navigate the topics of nutrition and obesity. How are you?
I'm very well, Jeanette. How are you all doing?
I'm doing
you're sick, and I hope you feel better.
Yeah, I think I'm going to feel, after the show, I'm going to have plenty of fluids and a lot of rest. That's for sure. This month is National Nutrition Month, Susan, and we are going to be covering wonderful topics on national change of 2011 from the food pyramid to my plate. We have like a very beautiful resource there for our listeners. We're going to put that on our Facebook page. So what is a healthy diet? Understand.
Well, a healthy diet, I think, Jeanette, a lot of people define healthy diet individually. For most Americans, we decide what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, in the quantity that we're going to eat. And we describe healthy as being maybe foods that are not fried, or perhaps we describe healthy as being all organic. There are several different pathways that adults take to describe healthy diet, and there are some adults who may not have a real solid understanding of what it means to have a healthy diet. The dietary guidelines for Americans, and again, this is going to be information to be provided on our Facebook page, it just emphasizes fruits and vegetables, whole grains, fat-free, low-fat milk products. And there again, we have known that for a long time. But now we have more of a focus where when we go to the market, we have options. A lot more meats are either listed as organic, many, many more choices of lean meats, which have the decreased amount of fat content, poultry, fish, seafood, and different things like that. But the whole basis is we need to be educated and to help us understand as adults what it means to have a healthy diet, what are low saturated, foods that are low in saturated fats, trans fats, cholesterol, salt, and added sugars. These are some of the things that we don't even give a consideration when we go shopping at the market. So these are things that we need to have a balance of, and I think the emphasis there is going to be the balance. As we get into the show today, we'll discover how we acquire balance.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point because like I said at the beginning, my plate, it also helps individuals use dietary guidelines to make smart choices for every food group, find balance between food and physical activity, and also to get most nutrition out of calories and stay within the daily calories. How will you emphasize that to the parents, especially parents who have children, and help them into that process of getting better nutrition and also providing that same nutrition to their children?
Well, I think first and foremost, there are a lot of times that parents, and we have to understand that as time has gone by, not when my generation and my grandparents and their generation, they grew their own food, and subsequently they canned their own food. We have a different focus between generations of that not happening. Younger generation is not growing all their food, canning all their food, and cold packing things. It's so much more convenient to go to the market, and in 30-minute shopping, we can just get all that we want, go home, and we're done marketing, and we're done shopping. But then we have to go to the kitchen and put something together. But even then, we still do not realize that we have a responsibility in this country. And there is no excuse for not being educated, in the sense that even I, even someone who has no education experience at all, can read a book, can read a pamphlet, can get information on what are the basic food groups, what is my plate basically. You know, this is a generation where most everybody has a cell phone, everybody's on the web, everyone has access to the internet to the greater extent. And being able to access the internet to get information about what is it that I can eat, or how can I do this to keep me healthy. But a lot of times we just don't opt to take the time to do that. It can be more of a convenience purchase. And what we need to do is help parents gear to focus in on the right educational resources to help them learn, especially new parents. New parents may have to rely on what was modeled to them as a child. And so if the emphasis at their, you know, when they were a child was not the basic food groups and balancing portions and having exercise and being active, then they will pull from their own experience some methods, some techniques maybe that they will use for their children to help them feed them. Now, in getting a balance, the whole focus of my plate then is to be able to divide the plate in four sections. And, you know, you have, for each one, you have a meat, you have a fruit, you have a vegetable. And these are the kind of things that people have to just kind of sort of imagine. But this is not something that happens overnight. You have, just like any other thing that we need to change in our lives, it takes time. We need to be educated on how to do it. The general public, like I said, the general public can catch on to the internet at any point in time and find a lot of reliable resources to help educate them. And then after they begin to have an awareness and some level of understanding of what this means, they actually have to put it in practice. Put it in practice right. Means that I'm going to go to the market and I'm going to start buying things that I'm learning are better for me. Well, guess what? It slows down the marketing process. Now you're not going to be able to get in now the market maybe in 30, 40 minutes because you're looking at labels. And I really don't know, but I think convenience in this country and having it when I want it with the least amount of effort takes dominance. And I don't see a whole lot of people in the aisles at the supermarket reading labels. The majority of the people that I see reading labels are senior citizens because they already know they cannot have sodium, or they cannot, sodium being salt. They cannot have a whole lot of sugar. They cannot have, or you'll find dieters that are in there, and they don't want a lot of this fat. They want things that they can snack on or things that they can eat that don't have a whole lot of calories. Very rarely do I see somebody in the aisle, a family per se, mom with children, mom and dad with children, where they're picking out better things for the whole family. So,
you know, not to stop you on that subject, I think it takes a lot of time to, like, sit in front of the aisle and read through the material. I always wonder if it could be a company or somebody who can actually sit down and look at through all those ingredients and kind of, like, classify it for people. Like, these are the things that you will find that are low in sodium. There you will find that they are gluten-free, and so forth and so forth. So you, as a person going to the supermarket, you don't have to spend an hour and a half or even more in just finding one item and going through, reading through the labels just to find what you want. At least if you do your homework from home, and then go to the supermarket, you can just pick it up. You know,
there are quite a few resources, like I'm saying, you know, Jeanette, that there are quite a few resources without a whole lot of digging into the internet that parents can tap into and get some information. Okay, so like if a parent does not know what a processed food is, what is processed food? And so websites such as, you know, some of the things that talk about dangers of processed foods for children, you know, so processed foods. So soft drinks, cheese, crackers, cookies, chips, instant meals, things like this that are canned, frozen, dehydrated. See, the difference thing with processed foods can stay on your shelf a little longer. They don't have to be cooked right away. And
they're loaded with hormones. That's the problem. They're loaded with hormones.
Well,
and eventually they go bad. And some people don't even pay attention to look at the expiration date on the packaging and just pick it up and eat it. And eventually it creates other problems.
Absolutely.
So I took a test one day, and I just left one processed food just to see how rotten it can get and if eventually the expiration date had passed. And once I opened it, it had things around it and coloring, because the food coloring that they put to maintain it starts being removing itself from the food itself, and you can see it around, and then you see the mold building up around it as well. So it was very gross, and I said to myself, I will not have that in this house anymore. But it was a good test to just see how and what actually happened after a while, and not using something like that and not eating it and leaving it there, what happened to it after a certain time. And it was a good lesson for me to realize that it's not good for my body as well, even when it doesn't show all those food products that they put on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We pick up chips all the time and we eat it, but we really don't know what is inside. We read the labels and we see that, yeah, it has all this food coloring, it has this hormones that they put in there to maintain the food to be able to stay long. But what are the consequences after we put it on our body? That's what we really don't pay attention to. We never think of the consequences. We think of the now. I just want to eat it right now. We don't care about tomorrow. So
absolutely, and that's where convenience plays into it. And you know, Jeanette, in this country, 90%, it's estimated that 90% of the money that Americans spend on their food, they spend it on processed foods. 90% of what we spend in foods. And the problem with that is, and beyond just what you're saying, it's just, you have to think about the reality in the sense that if you're consuming nothing but processed foods, then you certainly are contributing to a shorter lifespan. And it has been estimated that our children's generation, you know, we are going to live longer than our children, because the children coming up, in a lot of ways, are not relying on a healthier diet. They're not, in a lot of ways, they're not relying on healthy diets. They're not relying on things being cooked at home that are fresh. And so they're eating and consuming in very large quantities on a regular basis every day the processed foods and convenience foods, which is contributory to the development of issues like diabetes and cholesterol issues, and as an adult is a possibility heart attacks and strokes, different things that happen to our bodies that we think happen to someone else, and we don't really understand the magnitude of that until it happens to us. Ask anyone, and I would venture to say ask anyone who has had a heart attack, if they survive their heart attack to the point where they can get to see a nutrition or they get to see their provider, the provider will probably say to them that there may be something in your diet that you need to change. You are going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to find some sort of balance. And even though parents today may not have had, you know, the modeling that my generation had or my parents had, the thing of it is we need to pass down through the generations from older, you know, the grandparents to the parents of today, so that when their children become parents, they will have known this is, you know, I know this is how the world is going, this is the trend, this is the pace, but we need to back the train up to the station a little bit and determine that the reason that they live so long could have been contributed to the fact that they did not consume processed foods. They didn't eat the portions that you all are eating today. And they did not err on the side of convenience. Cooking took time, and it was not something that, well, you know, we'll skip them. And this is another thing, too, is we don't skip a meal and then make up the difference for all three meals at supper time, you know. And so the trend of today is faster, and parents want convenience, and they don't have time. There simply is no schedule. There is no time for them to, rather for their schedule to accommodate mom or dad going into the kitchen and spending an hour cooking a meal, a balanced meal. So it is so much easier to load the kids up in the car and drive to McDonald's, and they have eaten. They're full. They're happy. But what have they eaten? You know, what have they eaten? So if we allow the kids to decide, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that, I want McDonald's, and every time you give in, guess what? We are adding and adding. We are enabling our children at some point in time to become sick with issues, medical issues, that could have been related to all this that we're consuming. It just cannot be healthy. And I think
Go ahead, Susan.
No, I'm just going to say, Jeanette, that, you know, there are three things that in having processed foods, the three huge dangers are saturated fat, sugar, and sodium. And these things together set the child up for potentially developing type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and childhood obesity. And it's estimated that 80% of our daily salt comes from processed and prepared foods. That's alarming.
That's a lot. You brought up something earlier saying that parents are enabling children and letting them make choices of what food they're going to eat and what food they're not going to eat. You know, it's very interesting because when I was growing up, my aunt used to always go to the market every day. She never went to the market and purchased something and put it in the freezer and let it sit. No, she went to the market to get fresh food every day. It was never anything frozen in the house. So when she would come in the house, I'm a very picky eater, which I recognize. And I've been a picky eater ever since I was a child. So she would come to me with this food, and she would say, I would say, I don't want to eat that. And she would say, why? Because I don't like that. She said, you haven't even tasted the food. I say, I don't care. I am not going to eat that. And she would tell me, you are going to sit down. You are going to eat that food. And if you don't eat the food, then I guess you're going to go to sleep hungry. And there was a rule in the house that you never let a child go to sleep hungry. But it's always something they used to say that if your child is hungry and you don't give them other options, just the food that is in front of them, at the end of the day, before they go to bed, they will eat that food. So she basically did not leave me too many choices. She gave me a plate, and she told me that's what I'm going to be eating. And although I said I am not going to eat it, at the end of the day, I got hungry, and I ate the food. And I did not have any choice. I think that you brought up a good point that we don't have to bargain with children and getting them to eat this and that. We have to make it a point where we introduce every piece of healthy food to them and get them to try it at least versus saying no. I have one of my friends who put fruit and vegetables in on her kids' plates, and she always say, you do not put your plates in the kitchen with the food inside that plate. You're going to finish everything that I put on your plate, including the vegetables, before you put your plates aside. Because kids will always pick on the vegetables and put on the side. I don't want to eat that. It's carrots. I don't want to eat that. That's broccoli. Why do I have to eat that? And she will let them do all of that, and then she'll come back and she will say, I apologize, but you are going to finish that food, everything on your plate, before you go to bed. And eventually they do that because they know that she doesn't give them any choice except that. I think more choices we give our children, the more we enable them to make choices of their own and eventually make bad choices.
Absolutely. I agree with you. In fact, in doing some of the research for the show today, I do find that giving them choice is not bad. But if I say, would you like cauliflower or broccoli, I am limiting the choices. They're going to get one of them. And I will tell you, I have heard it plenty of times, the argument, well, we cannot make our children eat everything that's on their plate because we are contributing to childhood obesity. To some extent, I would agree, because adults need to adopt what is an appropriate portion size for a child. So if I do not see the plate, and I don't see how much they are demanding the child to eat, if I don't see what kind of food they're eating, I mean, there's a lot of variables there. But I think if we had a well-rounded plate, fruit, vegetables, lean meat, a whole grain, well-rounded plate, then I would say in a portion size appropriate for that age of a child, then I think that having them to have one or two choices on what goes on the plate, but they have to eat what's on the plate, I really don't think that's a bad thing. Because if I look at the flip side of that, the other side of the coin for me would be that argument will hold water to a point. The other side of that coin is that, well, we cannot satisfy them, or we can satisfy them, rather, with the convenience, the drive-through, the eat-out, but it's a short-term fix, but it has long-term damage. Long-term damage being what happens to the child physically. So, and another thing that I was going to bring up to you, too, is that parents sometimes, and I know that when you're looking for things that are whole grains and healthier foods without all of the preservatives and all, it costs more. So there's another argument in this country, is that eating healthy costs me more. I don't know that if you compare apples and oranges, so to speak, if that is always the case, but I do think if we were cooking more fresh than boxed and canned, that we have to, you know, we make sacrifices, and before I finish that thought, we make sacrifices all the time in this country, and we do it on an individual basis, on a family basis, in our homes, what have you. We want something, and we will sacrifice something else to have it. You know, we don't have the money, we'll sacrifice something, we'll give up something because we want something else. Or we want to do something, so we'll sacrifice something. We sacrifice quite a bit to achieve or to acquire some of the things that we want in this country. And so I'm thinking that sometimes parents may need to err on the side of sacrificing a little bit of the time that I thought I had free in the evening to cook a meal, sacrificing a little bit more monetarily. And, you know, sometimes when you start talking about sacrificing money, that really hits home to a lot of people, because a lot of people are struggling in this country. But if I ate healthier and I was active and I was physically healthier, would I not be saving myself you know, sacrificing the inconvenience of having to cook it now. But in the long run, I save myself the collateral damage or the long-term damage by living healthier, which means I'm not running to the doctors because all the time because I have insulin-dependent diabetes or I have juvenile diabetes or I have whatever issue that's come up. Because if we think about it, if we turn it around in a child's life, as an adult, that child may be healthier and less likely to develop obesity or diabetes or heart disease. That doesn't mean that family genetics and heredity might not play an issue into it. And as an adult, they can then decide to make their own choices. But I think parents still should rule the house. The parent, the structure...
Provide the basis. The basis of life from the beginning. Because if you give the child that basis of living life healthy at the beginning of life, they will carry that knowledge to the end. Mm-hmm. Because the minute you give them the choice, like you say, Susan, pick up what type of food they're going to eat, what type of thing they're going to do, then you destroy that knowledge and that base of them being able to survive in adulthood and keeping healthy. Because you made up a good point when parents take kids to McDonald's, to Wendy's, and those fast food places. We're not saying don't take your kids there. We're just saying it has to be done in moderation. For example, I have two little ones, and my son has this thing all the time when we're passing the street. He said, "Mommy, but why we don't ever go to McDonald's? You need to take me to McDonald's." I say, "Well, do you have food at home?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, we're going to get home, and you're going to have food." He said, "But I want to eat now." You know, they have that demand. It has to be done right now because I am hungry right now. So you're going to have to give me the food right now. And I'm like, "Well, I am sorry again, but you're going to have to hold on and we're going to get home and you're going to have food." And it's a rule. He knows that. I don't care how many McDonald's and how many fast food we passed. If you are hungry, if I'm not stopping at a restaurant to give you a choice of food, you are going home and you're eating at home. Matter of fact, before you leave home, you have to have food. So it's like basically, if I give in and let them go to McDonald's all the time, then guess what? It is going to become a habit. And there will be no more food that is better than McDonald's. I really wish we could go to McDonald's today. Why am I eating this food? But because of the fact that I have given them no opportunity to say that they just have to put in their mind at McDonald's, then all they have left is to go home and have food, eat food from the house, and not complain about it. That's basically it, which brings me to talk about portion distortion. Because anyone eating on the run or at the restaurant has probably noticed that food portions have gotten larger. Some portions are called supersize. Oh, yeah, you have the big supersize mark or something they say call it. And then while others have simply grown in size and provide enough food for at least two people, with this growth, have come an increase in waistline and body weight, which actually will bring us into our topic of obesity. But Susan, do you think that it will be like a good idea to take a short break right now and just come back later and kind of like take a little time and, you know, rest a little bit and come back on air and to continue this discussion?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeanette. Let's take a break.
Sure. Thank you. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. diabetes. And so before we went to break, and we were talking about food distortion. So what parent can do with that particular fact?
Well, I think, Jeanette, again, like I'm saying, parents have, most people have today some way to access internet. If not, they have a medical provider. They have different things that we can do to help educate us. If we want to know, we can find the information. But if we start, say, Jeanette, and we're looking at food labels, say, for example, if we wanted to start looking at food labels, it is required now that foods have a label. The labels tell the purchaser, the consumer, how much is a serving size, and for the serving size, how many calories. It also tells what is in the food, the sodium and the carbs and the dietary fiber. It has a list of all the vitamins and the percentage of vitamins, and in most cases, we don't read the labels. So first and foremost, in order to address childhood obesity, we have to start with the parents. Parents have no idea until they get into it. Now, we do have parents in this country who are very astute. They're on top of reading labels. They know already from reading labels and doing research or just trying to understand this what their children should and should not have. But when we read labels and we start looking, we look at serving size. How much is the serving and how many calories? That is the kind of thing that I look at when I'm looking at food labels. And then again, I'm also looking at total fat and saturated fats, that type of thing. But I'm also looking at sodium. For example, if we look at some of our soups and different things, some of them are healthier. They cost more. So if we go with something that doesn't cost quite as much, there may or may not be a difference in the amount of sodium.
It's loaded with sodium.
Right. So now, the information that's available to us on the internet, and this is basically toddlers and older children, but preschool and younger age children, we have to look at portion sizes. Does a preschooler or does a child in school need to have a double Whopper meal? No, they don't. I mean, they don't need to go to McDonald's and get a 20-piece chicken nugget. They don't need that. It is estimated that portion size, if we educate parents on how to create portion sizes and have satisfying fresh foods, then they will have a better outcome overall. A half a slice of bread, these are just some examples of portion sizes for preschoolers and younger school age. A half a slice of bread, well, that kind of blows it out of the water if you're thinking about that double Whopper sandwich with fries and a large drink that a child is consuming. A half a cup of dry cereal, a half a cup of this, a half a cup of that, half a cup of fresh fruit, cooked vegetables, dry cereal. It's all a half a cup. One egg, 1 ounce of meat. This is the size, and if we're looking at older children and teenagers right before they approach adulthood, that means they need, from a half a slice of bread, they need 1 slice of bread, 1 cup of dry cereal, 1/2 cup of cooked vegetables. These are some of the portions that is estimated for them to have at a meal. If you think about a teenager on their way to adulthood, we all think that they're eating machines, and this is not in any way, shape, or form going to satisfy them. So if what we try to do is fill them up. When I was growing up, times were very, very hard, and my family farmed. And what happened when I was growing up is that my mother would cook, and my grandparents would cook, but they would cook things that would stick, which they would say, stick to your ribs. Yeah, this is the stuff that's going to stick to your ribs. Yeah, these are the, this is what I'm going to feed you, and it's cost effective for me because we're not having that much money, but we're farming. So we're getting fresh of everything. But the things that were starchy and the things that stuck to your ribs and everything, very bad eating habits. So we have to learn as an adult to let go of some things and keep some things. So for me, the fresh fruits and vegetables, we keep that. Getting rid of great big pots of macaroni and cheese and spaghetti, we got to get rid of that because it is not healthy. Science has come and defined for us the damage, the long-term damage from continually eating like that. So if we're going to change what's going on with children, we have to educate parents. Now, if we're looking at childhood obesity in this family, in this country, rather, is epidemic. Because I will tell you this, children are becoming like their parents. And adult obesity in this country is rampant. And the majority of the women, and not the majority, but the majority of the gender most affected currently are women. Women are estimated to be heavier than men. And in a study that was conducted from 82 to 2002, boys and girls at the ages of 4, 10, and 16, by the time they were 10, their body mass index was 13.3% in girls and 5.1% for boys. So very, very big. But depending on there are some factors that play into childhood obesity, gender, genetics, the region that they live in. Do they come from a location or do they live in a location that's under the poverty level? Sometimes the heritage, sometimes the foods that we bring from our ethnicity does not always contribute to, you know, a trim waistline, so to speak. But I will tell you there's one factor that outstands regardless of all of that. It's the activity level. This is a generation of children whose entertainment, to a great extent, is electronic, digital, computer, games. So where when I was a child, being outside to play, absorbing sunshine, and running, and climbing, these children today may be at a greater risk because we're in front of the television. We eat in front of the television. We have a television in our bedroom. So
couch potato. You just sit in front of the TV.
That's right. A couch potato. If you look at any couch potato over time, everything has grown, waistline, cholesterol levels, probably blood pressure, maybe issues with sugar. And as an adult, we are sitting there in front of the TV as a walking, ticking time bomb. You know, we have to get up and be physically active. Taking a walk around the block is not a bad thing. And in a lot of ways, say what they want, you know, but I think giving a puppy to a child is in some ways very beneficial. They learn to walk the dog. The dog has to be exercised. The child gets exercised. The dog eats at certain times. Well, the child eats 3 meals a day. There are a lot of similarities there, but we had a dog and we took care of the dog and it was our responsibility. And they learned that responsibility too. But then again, that could be a totally different program. But I think a lot too is our activity level. And parents, children are children. If parents say it's time to turn off the television or we're going to go do this, that, or the other, then parents have the final say. And so giving children a choice, well, you know, in their food that they eat, the amount of activity that they want to engage in, and how much food they want, there should be no play back and forth. It should be household rules. These are the way they go. But then, see, I'm a different generation than what we are seeing now. However, if the statistics are showing that children, that we may potentially outlive our children because of all the processed foods and the inactivity and the increase in disease processes going on in this country, you know, what's to stop this? We have to become educated. But you cannot educate somebody who does not want to hear.
That's true.
Often
that leads me to say, Susan, that we are going to leave on our Facebook page, and also these tips are going to be found on our next newsletter coming up in March, end of March. We are going to give parents 10 tips for nutrition education series, another 10 tips for parents setting good examples on nutrition. We also are going to be giving parents the reality, the nutrition trap that leads to kids becoming obese. Because obesity in childhood eventually leads to obesity in adulthood. So if we can provide parents with the nutritional traps that lead to that effect, then they can start working towards the goal of making sure that their children are going to start living a healthy life now so that they can continue to live that life into the future. So we are also are going to be talking finding solution, what will be the solution that we can provide to our listeners and also to our readers with regard to not falling in the trap of obesity and making sure that you continue to eat healthy. So all that information will be found, and actually already posted a couple of information on our Facebook page, but we will also be finding this information on our newsletter coming up in March. So Susan, is there anything else that you want to kind of like let our listeners know before we start exiting out of our talk show today?
No, actually, Jeanette, I just think that we may want to, as parents, and I'm a grandparent now, my grandbabies are small, we may want to entertain the thought about what resources do I have access to that I can start looking into these subjects for myself, and try to either visit your local library, ask your medical doctor, your provider, or go on the internet to some reputable sites, WebMD or pediatrics.com. Find some reputable sites and do some research and look at some of the information in the current studies. It may be very eye-opening, and I encourage all parents to do that.
Yeah, well, when I was looking at your tips, as I was putting them on Facebook page, you brought up a couple of good pointers, and I just wanted you to touch base on some of that as well. You gave parents 10 tips for in setting good examples. Show by example. You were talking about eat vegetable, fruit, whole grain with meals or a snack, and let your child see that you like to munch on raw vegetables. It's very difficult for kids to accept the fact that they are going to eat something that is raw, because they have this idea that, oh, everything that is raw is bad. So what can you say to, what can parents tell the kids in that effect that, you know, you can eat this still even if it's raw? What kind of suggestion will you provide to parents?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeanette, I'm real old school, so how I was raised is a little different than what it's like today. But, you know, take the child grocery shopping with you. When you go grocery shopping, visit the produce. When you go back home, or if you get information available on the internet, sit down with your child and show them what it's like to, where do these vegetables come from. And I'll tell you what, another good thing, too, which I fully intend to do with my own granddaughters here, is to grow a very small garden. Let them see what it's like to plant and then eat the things that they grow.
That's wonderful. I used to do that growing up.
Yes. They get first-hand experience. Absolutely. They get first-hand experience nothing is being put on the vegetables but sunshine and rain, and go from there, and then cook the things the way they like to eat it that they grew out of their little garden. And you know what? I think that gives these children a different perception or a different idea about our vegetables, and because you can also take your raw carrots and clean them and peel them and dip them in ranch dressing. It's the same thing. They're eating what they grew. So it doesn't matter if I steamed them or if I, you know, if they're having them raw with some salad dressing, whatever. It's getting them exposed to where they come from. A lot of people do not have a clue where they come from.
I think it's a terrific idea, because growing up, we actually have a garden, and my grandmother used to tell me all the time, she used to be, because we would go to the field, and she has corn, she had peanuts, she had beans and all, and then she had other type of vegetable that she would plant. And then she would say, you need to come help me, and we're going to put all of this on the ground. And I would look at her and be like, it is too much work. And then she would say, your eyes are lazy. All this work is going to be done in a blink of a second if you just put your mind into doing it. And she said, and then you're going to be happy to eat what you have put on the ground. And matter of fact, I used to be very excited when it was time to go back and remove everything from the ground that was already has blossomed. And I would be the first person in the garden to make sure. I'd be like, Grandma, I saw the corn. Can I get one? Grandma, I saw the beans. Are we going to be cooking the beans today? Grandma, I saw the tomatoes. And it was very interesting. It was a very good experience. And that's one experience that I never forget. When I was in Georgia, I used to have a garden in the back of the house, and I used to plant things there, because it's very important to do that. It brings excitement, and then it brings questions with the kids, and they are able to eat it because they are enthusiastic to the fact that they planted it. So why not eat it? So it is actually, I think it's a terrific idea. I don't know how old is your granddaughter, Susan, but she would love it.
I have granddaughters that are 6, 4, and 5.
Oh, my gosh. They're going to love it, because that's exactly the age that my grandmother introduced me to the guy walking on the field and going and planting things in the garden. That was exactly the age that I was when I started planting, and I never forgot.
Absolutely. I have other grandchildren, Jeanette. They live on the West Coast, and I miss them dearly. But I would tell you, I think that after they have that experience, they will have a little bit more understanding when you take them to the produce stand
You
take them
definitely.
To the produce section. Absolutely.
Definitely. Because I used to know, because of that experience, I was able to go to the market, and when I would see a product, I would be able to say, it is not a good product, it's not done yet, I cannot use this, I'll put it on the side, and I'll find something better. And people used to look at me like, what is this young girl doing, looking at the produce and moving it around? Because I knew what I was looking for, and I knew what kind of consistency and how it should look like before I can actually eat it. So that knowledge was passed down to me many, many years ago. And until this day, when I talk to my grandmother, I thank her dearly for introducing me to that, because that was a very good experience for me. It was.
Absolutely. Sometimes I think the best way to make progress is just to step back a little bit and find out what really, really worked and what kept them healthy all those years. What brought us to be in existence, and how we need to realize where this generation is headed and how can we intervene. We need to teach them. We need to be educated to teach them. So it is all in the education and the experience.
Well, Susan, we can go on and on into this topic, and I love today's topic, and I'm sure my listeners did too. So we are coming to the end of our show today here live at BBS Radio, but don't worry, we will be back Saturday, March 30th, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Before I exit, I will leave you with two inspirational quotes and hope that you enjoy the time spent listening to us today. To ensure good health, eat lightly, breathe deeply, live moderately, cultivate cheerfulness, and maintain an interest in life, by William London. Today, more than 95% of all chronic diseases is caused by food choice, toxic food ingredients, nutritional deficiencies, and lack of physical exercise. That was by Mike Adams. Thank you, Susan, for being my co-host today. And I hope today's show made a difference. And for my listener, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, have a blissful Saturday. As for me, I need to drink plenty of fluids and go to bed and rest. Ciao now.